Welcome to another episode of See You Lead, sponsored by NetGiver, the app and platform that enables donors and nonprofits to give and receive on a no-fee basis. On this podcast, we feature credit union industry executives and the impacts they make on communities everywhere.
I am Glenn Frechette, and today I am joined by Mark Cochran. Mark is the president and CEO of Jeanne d'Arc Credit Union, located in my birthplace of Lowell, Massachusetts. Mark, what a pleasure to have you on.
It's been great to get to know you a little bit and to be here. Thank you.
You know what, Mark? We were talking just before, as you're aware, we started filming or recording here today about the fact that there's a movie that I'm super fond of that was filmed in Lowell, and I think you'd agree was an absolute accurate depiction of life in Lowell, Massachusetts.
Yes, The Fighter.
The Fighter.
Right? Yeah. Perfectly accurate, true story. Won several Academy Awards for acting and other things, directing. And an exciting entree into what Lowell is all about.
You know, for those not familiar with Lowell, Massachusetts, but one of the little shares that you provided with me is you had a cameo appearance in this movie.
I did. I was an extra by chance. And my role was an onlooker in one of the more vibrant scenes of the movie, where I was looking over Mickey getting beaten up by the police and getting his hand broken. To the horror of all of his friends that had watched this happen. And I happened to be walking down the street in the movie and saw what was going on and looked on as well in horror.
You defended Mickey, did you?
I did not. I wish I could.
Yeah. Yes. Boy, was that the two actors, of course, the main actors, Christian Bale and Mark Wahlberg, they were exceptional in that movie.
Yeah, they really were. Yeah. They really were.
Good deal. Yeah. Well, what I'd love for you to talk about for our listeners is your own journey, helping us to get to know you a bit better. Yeah. What does that look like? How long have you been influencing Credit Union Nation?
So I started out in commercial banking, like a lot of credit union people. And then, you know, soon into my career, within 10 years, I really found that the heart of what I wanted to be doing wasn't being satisfied by what I was doing in banking. And a friend of mine was working at a credit union. They were looking for a chief financial officer. And my first entree into credit unions was at Synergy Federal Credit Union in New Jersey. It was about a $200 million credit union. And I was the CFO. And I was there only a couple years when the CEO of that organization and myself left together to go team up and head up the largest credit union in New Jersey, Affinity.
Oh, no.
And so we joined there in the mid-90s. I was both CFO and COO, and I was there 12 years. And then
You left together. Conspiracy or what? Well, what went down here?
No. They were looking for a CEO, and he said if he got the job, he'd take me with him. And so the third member of our leadership group at Synergy became the CEO at Synergy, and then the two of us left. It all worked out very naturally and friendly.
Fantastic. Great.
But after 12 years at Affinity, I got a call about a credit union in Lowell, Massachusetts, which I was not familiar with, that happened to have a funny name, Jeanne d'Arc, an old, third oldest credit union in the country, with a lot of heritage and history. And as I learned about it and visited, I realized that the people there were people that I could relate to and people that I would love to serve. And so I was fortunate enough to be picked to be the CEO of Jeanne d'Arc back in 2007.
Okay.
So I've been there about 16 years and grown. The credit union has tripled in size and more. So we've had success, but it's really because we meet the needs of everyday people.
Well, the fact is, if you took over as CEO in 2007, You've had to weather a few national crises. Talk to us a little bit about that specifically as it relates to serving the membership.
Yeah. So I did come in 07, and as you implied, the 2008 financial crisis came, and that created challenges and it created opportunities. Out of those opportunities, we became designated a low-income credit union, meaning more than half of our membership lives in areas and census tracts of low-income people. And so we, design products and work with people that really can help satisfy the needs of people really starting out in the marketplace, the financial market.
That's fantastic.
Lowell is a town and city of immigrants. And still is. And so our role in that community is to help people understand how to get started and how to be successful.
And I think you'd represent the immigrant population as Asian, as European.
Yes.
Frankly, very international.
Yeah. So what started out as a French-Canadian credit union evolved into other groups of people. The Irish and the Greeks were prominent in Lowell. And then evolved where today it's a large Southeast Asian population. Lowell is the second largest population of Cambodian Americans in the country.
I knew this.
So over 20,000 live in Lowell. And so it creates another chance for us to help people that need our help.
I love it. I love the story. So let's talk about serving the community in addition to your membership population. And of course, your members live, work, and worship in the community that you serve.
Right.
But there are nonprofit organizations. There are desperate community members that rely on credit unions to help and assist by way of funding and with actual volunteer work with their feet.
Right.
Talk to us about being a leader in the community.
So it really starts, Glenn, with the people we hire. And the most important characteristic of people that we hire are people that have a heart to serve. And so to me, it's a lot more than just, giving money or doing anything like that. What we try to instill is a culture that says this: the CEO is not going to dictate what organizations we're going to support and serve. Our employees are. And we have about 275 employees. We serve over 200 local nonprofit organizations. And our philosophy is we'd rather do a little for a lot of organizations, because a small amount to a very local organization is very meaningful, right? And so what we try to do and what I tell our employees is find a place where you want to serve, let us know about it, and let us come around and support and help you, rather than the other way around. So if they want to serve at their local church or on a local board or in another nonprofit, I view our role as providing financial support, providing time off for them to be able to serve, or any other resources that they might need.
I love that. So I can only imagine culturally that has paid dividends for you, not only in the recruiting and hiring process, but naturally retention.
Yes.
And then ultimately, you're serving your population with employees that have been around a long time.
Exactly. And represent our community, right, in the way that they look and the languages that they speak.
So how do you actually go about giving the employees a vote to choose from a menu of lots of different nonprofit organizations, whether that be a school, a church, or a food shelter?
So, some employees already know who they want to serve and perhaps already are. But there's many, and especially the young people, that don't know but want to. And so we try to create opportunities where we as a group will do, in a small group, not the whole company, will do things like Mill City Grows, where we go and we plant vegetables at urban gardens, or things like that, to expose our employees to things they may not be aware of.
Sure.
And then they can choose whether they want to continue to support that organization or ones like it. But they don't know what they don't know.
Right.
So we try to help them understand and see. Many of them, as a result, will, find their home. It's not always right away, but they find their home. And I think those numbers I suggest, which is over 200 nonprofits served, and the ratio of that to a number of employees we have, really kind of tells you eventually they do.
Yeah.
And eventually they like the idea of us really helping them rather than us telling them you're going to help us.
Yeah, right. That's great, Mark. I love that. You're only my second interview of today. But yesterday I had a chance to chat with seven different CEOs. And I didn't ask this question, but I'd like to ask it of you. I feel like we're experiencing a social responsibility shift in Credit Union Nation. Let me elaborate for just a sec. I've been around credit unions a long time. Credit unions have always acted responsibly. There's no doubt about it. And have always sort of been at the forefront, as financial institutions go, of ensuring that they act in a socially responsible manner. Do you feel like even in the last 3 years that has been accelerated? Are we doing more as an industry with regard to social responsibility?
Yeah, I really do. I think we are. I see other credit unions, just this happens to be a Columbus Day week or Indigenous People Day week, whichever way you want to call it. But there's many credit unions across the country that are celebrating that day by not necessarily having a holiday, but offering a day of service in their community. Right, so everybody in the credit union has somewhere that they serve on that day. And that's really something in the last 3 or 4 years, to your point, where I think there's this awareness of need. Right. And every credit union, and I think rightfully so, approaches it in the way that they are comfortable with and that fits their needs and their culture and their communities. And so for us, it's not one day where we all do something together. For us, it's throughout the year. Everybody doing something.
Awesome.
But we found last year, I think it was last year, we looked at our calendar and we realized that there were only 2 days out of 365 where we were not serving in the community.
One more time.
So there were only 2 days out of 365 where somebody in our organization was not serving in the community because they post their volunteer time.
Right.
In a system that we track. And off the top of my head, I remember which days. I think one was Christmas, the day after Christmas, and one was just some odd day. I don't remember what it was.
Maybe July 5th.
Yeah.
So too much of a good time on the 4th.
Too much of a good time. But to think about that, right? 363 days out of 365, somebody was doing something.
That's exceptional.
Yeah. And that's what we're about. We're about doing a lot of little things that add up to big things.
Well, I want to ask you about something that may be near, dear, and personal to you with regard to an organization you support and you'd want our listeners to know about. But just an off-the-cuff question for you. Are you becoming a New Englander? Are you liking New England as compared to New Jersey?
You know what? I love it. I do. I love it. All right. So I'm a sports fan.
Uh-huh.
And I got to admit, I still am a Yankees and Giants fan. Okay. And everybody makes fun of me for that. But I have converted to the Bruins and the Celtics. I'm all in. I love college hockey. That's a new experience for me.
Amazing.
So, yeah, I love it.
Oh, we're sitting here today following the celebration last night of 100 years for the Bruins.
Yes.
Is that right?
Exactly right.
100 years.
Yeah.
A very storied team and past for sure.
Yeah. Not quite as old as our credit union.
So, yeah, give us that number.
We're in 1912, so that makes us 111 years old.
Incredible.
Mine 112, yeah.
Incredible. Well, I do want to ask you about what is important to your family and an organization that you'd love to plug so that our listeners can go and research that nonprofit for themselves.
Sure. So there are several that are dear to me, but one that stands out because of recent work we've been doing there is the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Lowell. It's an organization that's been around a long time. And because of the way Lowell is, being a lower income community of immigrants, people starting out, the Boys and Girls Club has really become this magnet for people to be able to find their place and to be able to create healthy relationships with other peers and then learn and grow from there. It becomes something more than they could be on their own. Right. And so we as an organization support the Boys and Girls Club. We have, you know, people on their board. I individually love to support the club, and they're going through a capital campaign, and it's just been a good time to try to help.
Oh, boy, I love that you plugged them, Mark. Growing up, I had the opportunity to pull out one of the scrapbooks that my father assembled over time. You know, the old school scrapbooks where it was literally sticky paper with newspaper clippings.
Yeah.
And as it turns out, my dad was quite an athlete. And he grew up in the projects in Lowell, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And his outlet away from a very tough upbringing was to be a part of the Lowell Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah.
And all these clippings that I've had a chance to peruse, you know, speak to a no-hitter thrown. He's a big man. He's a very big man.
Uh-huh.
So he was a basketball player and a football player.
Wow.
And you know, he had to leave Lowell at the age of 17 and join the Marines. But he often talks about the Lowell Boys and Girls Club. And the fact that you brought that up as the nonprofit
organization that
you personally support is a very cool thing. I consider my dad to be my life idol. So you've hit a nerve with me this morning, Mark.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, maybe you could go back since you're a participant. You do active work there.
Yep.
I'd love it. I this is a personal request of mine.
Yeah.
I'd love it if there is some sort of wall of fame. I have no idea if that exists.
Okay.
But maybe Ray Frechette.
Okay.
Is there somewhere on a placard? Who the heck knows?
I will find out.
Yeah, send me a note.
I will. Sure do that.
Well, you're on day two of three of this conference. I'm going to wish you well. I know you have a lot of glad handing to do, I'm sure.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure to sit down and talk with you.
Oh, likewise. Appreciate this.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Great discussion.
Thank you,
sir. Take care.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of See You Lead, brought to you by NetGiver, the no-fee donation platform for donors and nonprofits. We hope you stay engaged, stay inspired, and continue leading with purpose. Until next time.